The following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
Jason, don't let me forget to pick up that cough drop I took out of my mouth just now over there on the counter because all hell break loose. Well, I wouldn't want to find that. If I were someone doing the news here, it's tucked away under my headphone thing there. You can't see it. But just don't let me forget. You know how it is. There's protocol here, and you got to follow protocol. All right. We are going to jump into a topic that, quite frankly, I on this show, have not spent a whole lot of time on. And that is the Ukrainian conflict. And is that even the right way to frame it, the Ukrainian conflict? Or is this just a trampling of free speech rights by a totalitarian regime? Those of you listening on WTAQ in Green Bay will recognize the name and voice that you are about to hear. Those of you listening in Wausau and Sheboygan, some introduction is needed. Olga Haliburta is a former TV reporter here in Green Bay. She is also first-generation Ukrainian-American. She's deeply proud of that, and she's also proud of her Ukrainian roots. And not only does she have special insight on what's going on there, but she continues, obviously, to know people there. So joining us now to talk about that is Olga Haliburta. Olga, good morning.
Thank you so much, Jerry, for having me here.
You bet. Let's start, and I told you this is going to be kind of a long-winded first question because this does require a lot of setup. There's a tug of war going on right now for Ukraine between Russia and the Western world, Western Europe. Russian President Putin is trying, everyone knows he's trying to rebuild Russia's stature, not as just a superpower, but, you know, militarily, but as in terms of reputation, a superpower. Unfortunately, President Obama has been complicit in helping him out on that. Maybe more on that later. But he basically wants to rebuild a bloc that would resemble the former Soviet bloc.
Yes, he said so.
Yeah, there's no secret. Mm-hmm. No, with the former satellites. Ukraine, though, is seen as the centerpiece to that, to the most important stone in that bridge. The flashpoint for the current conflict in Ukraine seemed to be over association agreements or trade agreements with the European Union. Okay, now and that didn't include any clear path to EU membership. It was just basically trade partners. Initially, Moscow didn't seem to have a problem. By the way, this wasn't just Ukraine. This was the other satellites. But when the time came to sign some of those pacts with the former Soviet satellites, the Kremlin suddenly reversed course, cut off trade links to those former Soviet bloc, potential those who might sign the agreement with the EU, and Ukraine then pulled out. That led to the protests in Ukraine. At least that's the template that the media is using to report this story. But you and I traded emails in a phone conversation last night, Olga. You think that's far from the whole story. You can pick it up from there.
Well, that's just the very beginning of the story, but that's the story from late November. So that is that's old news, and that's not what's going on today. So where you're coming from with that template is exactly where the media is stuck right now. And so what they need to know is that portion of the conflict, if that's what we want to call it, lasted for 1 week. Now, I do want to give a little background.
That 1 week was in November, though, right?
Correct.
Right.
In November, where the protest was focused on the EU membership. But then the president, Yanukovych, cracked down on the protesters and started beating women and the young people there at nighttime with their police forces. And so then even people who did not support EU membership came in defense of the people who were being beaten and wanting accountability in the government. And so that is the moment. 1 week into this is the moment that EU membership stopped being a relevant factor, and freedom of assembly, freedom of speech, freedom from being beaten by your government became the issue. And so, but I want to, if I can, just step back a little bit, because I do think that it's relevant that we go back to the Orange Revolution of 2004. And Jerry, you know because I think a few people here in Green Bay might know that I took part in that revolution.
Yes.
As a journalist, I went, the station that I worked for here in Green Bay was gracious enough to allow me to go there and be a part of that as a reporter and as an election observer. I served as an election observer. So the background on that was that you had the two victors, Viktor Yanukovych and Viktor Yushchenko. Yushchenko was the good guy. He wanted ties with the West. Yanukovych was backed by Russia, money by Russia. Everyone knew he was Russia's puppet back then. And that was the battle between the two. Now, it became an international story when Yushchenko, the good guy, got poisoned. And, you know, everybody knows what happened there. And so he had that dioxin, and it caused his face to have those pock marks and whatnot. And he nearly died. And so after that, the people revolted. They wanted free and fair elections. Oh, yeah, by the way, Yanukovych stuffed the ballots, and there was mass fraud and cheating. And the thing that ticked people off the most at that particular moment in time was that Ukrainians had become so tolerant of the corruption at that point in time because of their long history with Lenin and Stalin and all the oppression under communism. But what ticked them off the most, from what I heard when I was in Ukraine, was that no longer were the criminals hiding it. They were blatantly stuffing the ballot boxes out in the open. They weren't even trying to hide it. And so that kind of mass corruption is what brought the people out in 2004 to protest and ask for a repeat election. And so the Supreme Court granted that, and the good guy won in the repeat elections. But this bad guy in that repeat election scenario did come into power then later, after Yushchenko had some internal problems there and didn't keep the power. But what I think is relevant about that is when Yushchenko won in 2004, the parliament changed the laws and stripped the president of certain powers. So he was weakened. So the good guy won, but he was weakened in their parliament, in their system. And so what the protesters today are calling for, one of the things they're calling for, is for the Constitution to return to that 2004 Constitution. And so Yushchenko or Yanukovych today would not have as much power as he has. So just for background. Another thing to also mention is that the young kids back then, in 2004, the 10-year-olds, the 15-year-olds who saw their relatives, who saw their family members and friends out on the Maidan, that's the Independence Square where this is all taking place, they grew up at the age of 10 and 15 with a feeling that you can change your country, that you do have a voice. Because what happened in 2004 with that peaceful Orange Revolution was so powerful, and I could say from being there myself, this euphoric feeling of knowing that you're making a difference and that you have freedom in sight after all of these years, it was amazing. And I have testimonies from other Ukrainian Americans who were there with me as election observers, who just were brought to tears by that feeling of patriotism and wanting to actually see a change in Ukraine and have freedom brought to Ukraine. So you have that kind of feeling that was growing with these 10 and 15-year-olds. And now these are the kids who started the original protest because they grew up wanting to be Europeans and being tied to Europeans. So the first wave of protests that were out there when they were calling for that trade agreement to be signed were the young people.
All right, I'm going to take 5 minutes and cough for about five straight minutes. Then when we continue on this, there are other elements of this that I want to ask Olga about. It's 9:15.
Join the Jerry Bader Facebook fan page. Go to jerrybadershow.com.